Good morning. This is Right Here, Right Now, brought to you by Right Choice Services. Right Choice Services develops individualized programs to help clients find that book inside of them that they've always wanted to write. On Right Here, Right Now, we interview business leaders, entrepreneurs, and professionals about their work and the writing they engage in as part of their work. I'm Vanessa Lowry, and I'm sharing the hosting chair this morning with Dr. Tim Morrison. Good morning, Dr. Tim.
Good morning, Vanessa. I'm not so sure about the sharing. I came in with the impression that I got to sit in the background.
Well, you can say whatever you want to.
I usually do anyway.
I know, you do anyway.
So I'll sit back, watch the expert at work.
Well, I'm glad to be able to be in the studio with you. We're not often able to do that.
And it's fun.
It is fun.
Thanks for inviting me.
Absolutely. And this morning we also have our producer, Kevin Finn. Good morning, Kevin.
Hi, Vanessa. Hi, Dr. Tim. It's great to be here as usual.
Excellent. We've got a full house today. I'm excited about our show, and we've got three guests in the studio with us. Our topic today is what makes your company unique. And in the studio, we have Linda Zook of Focus 5 Consulting. We have Deborah Swartz Griffin of DSG and Associates, and Essie Escobedo of Office Angels. So this morning, we're going to talk to Linda first. Linda Zook is a registered corporate coach with over 20 years of experience coaching individuals and groups. Her game-changing communication workshops and difficult conversation toolbox are just two examples of how Focus 5 Consulting can restore productivity, peacefulness, and power. Welcome, Linda.
Hi, Vanessa.
It's so good to have you in the studio this morning.
It's great to be here.
You know, on your bio, it says that you have a difficult conversation toolkit, and that sounds like something everybody can use. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
I'd be very happy to. The difficult conversation toolkit is something that that I designed for teams and also for individuals. And the way it works is I present a template of steps that people can take in order to create a conversation that they consider difficult so that they're prepared for the conversation. And you start out with an intention and you work through all of the different pieces until you get to the result that you're looking for. And you're also very clear about the outcome that you want to create. And it's a way to have a win-win conversation so that both people walk away with good results and with nobody being made wrong.
Well, and I love that because I know that for me, it's very hard for me to have difficult conversations. And sometimes my method would be just avoiding the issue, which means that it just gets bigger and bigger.
Yes, because it's like the elephant that's in the room, and something can happen, and it can be as simple as somebody looking at you in a certain way, and you don't realize it, but they're looking at you the way your mom would look at you,
right.
Or they might have a tone of voice that is just like your Aunt Grace. And from that point forward, every time you see them, there's something going on, and they have no idea what it is, but they know something's off. And what I've learned to do is to check out what I experience when I'm talking to somebody. And most of the time, I'm completely wrong. It is my Aunt Grace that I'm thinking about, and it has nothing to do with anything that they, you know, any kind of attitude that they had. But if I don't check it out, I don't know that.
So as long as you can become aware of that, then you can get past that and help communication be better.
Right. And the template is really great because it can be used for any kind of conversation. And it was surprising to me because I would have appointments set up with people, and often men who were financial planners or insurance people or attorneys, and I would be ready to have a business conversation with them. And the next thing I knew, they wanted to talk about, how do I talk to my wife about such and such? And it was really great because I feel like I've helped some marriages, too.
I bet you have. Well, I know that the tagline on your for your company is high-performance communication. So why is effective communication so important, particularly in the workplace?
Well, when the communication breaks down, then everything breaks down. Certainly relationships break down, but if you're on a team or if you're dealing with somebody every day and you're not saying what needs to be said, or again, there's that something that's in the background, the performance of the team and the productivity of the team is definitely going to go down. If people don't trust each other, if there's conflict and nobody's talking about it, or they're attacking each other, which can happen, that's really not a good thing. when I first started doing this kind of work, what I realized, or what I believe is true, is that people recreate the dysfunction of their families in their workplace. So somebody's going to remind you of your mother, and somebody else is going to remind you of your uncle or your brother. And if people aren't able to communicate like adults and communicate in an effective way, then everything's going to break down.
Well, and I know that, you know, we've talked a couple of the things that we've already talked about are, I know, what makes you unique, what makes Focus 5 unique. But can you tell us a little bit about, you know, what makes Focus 5 Consulting unique and how you get that across to prospective clients and to clients so that they can tell other people to come hire you?
Well, one of the things that I've done is surveyed the clients who I do have to get a sense of why they hired me and why they keep using me, especially the teams and then the long-term coaching clients that I've had. And it's been helpful for me to know that the experience they have of me is that I'm a great listener, I'm non-judgmental, I'm warm, and I'm very calm, and I'm a really good brainstormer and problem solver, and I have a knack of finding answers and getting people into action. So that really works well.
Well, and I've had that experience from you as well, because I was in one of your CEO roundtable groups that you led our group, and I thought it was just such a wonderful experience that we met once a month and all of us brainstormed, and you kind of facilitated the group as, you know, that we can all help each other's businesses get better. So thank you for that.
Oh, you're thank you. That's amazing that you would say that. Thank you so much. And what I do, and I don't know how, is I create a very safe space for people. And so I'll be working with the team, and everyone is really resigned, and they're really irritated that they even have to be at this darn retreat or this darn workshop. And people have promised themselves and each other, I'm not going to say a word. And the next thing I know, in about 10 minutes, everyone is just talking and talking and talking. And that's one of the things, not I guess, that is one of the things that makes me unique, is that I create that space where people just start to say what they need to say. I'm not afraid of conflict at all. And so if something comes up, we just deal with it, and people walk away feeling a lot better.
And it's a safe place to do that.
Exactly.
So I'm curious what kind of writing that you have to engage in for your business.
Well, the most writing I do on a regular basis is my newsletter. And I have found that when I create something, a little article for the newsletter that has some value to the people who I'm sending it to, that I get some really nice responses. And sometimes we'll get a new client. Another thing that I have started to do lately is to write more on my Facebook page and to write more on LinkedIn, and then I tweet it. And again, I get very positive responses from that.
And it's so great when you can write something once and then kind of leverage it in a number of different places, which it sounds like you're doing that with your tweets and your Facebook as well.
Right. That's exactly what I try to do.
Linda, how does that Facebook writing work? Because you know that there are companies say, won't go on there, it cheapens the company, and there are others who use it to promote their business. How's it working for you? Why do you choose to use it?
That's a great question, Tim. I'm using it because a lot of my friends and associates are also using it. And I think it's a way to reach people who I wouldn't have reached before. In terms of the people who are following me or who are liking me on Facebook, most of them are friends, but there are quite a few people I've never met. I don't know who they are. And I think that my posts get forwarded, or other people get exposed to them. So I'm reaching people who I wouldn't have reached otherwise.
So, Linda, how do our listeners sign up for your newsletter or get in touch with you?
Well, they can go to Focus 5 Consulting, and it's FOCUSFIVE consulting.com, or they can certainly go to my Facebook page, which, again, is Focus 5 Consulting, Or if you want to link with me, you can link in to me with Linda Zook, and it's spelled Z like zebra, UK.
Excellent. Well, Linda, we're going to talk to our other guests, and if you can hang out with us, we're hopefully going to have enough time to open the mics at the end for everybody to talk.
Sounds great.
Thank you for being with us today.
My pleasure.
So our next guest is Deborah Swartz Griffin. She's a dynamic, passionate, and dedicated professional with expertise in sales, marketing, business development, public relations, television news, and production, and event management. However, Deborah has built a reputation on her unusual ability to envision the unexpected, to see alliances that both surprise and benefit all of those who participate. Welcome, Deborah.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Well, it's great having you here, and I think of myself as a connector, so I love that your website is the creative connector. I think that that's very cool that you help see alliances with people that maybe other people don't see. Your tagline is connecting people to people and ideas to results. Can you tell us a little bit more about how you work with clients?
Well, I want to take a step back and say that this all came about because I was always a go-to person. In television and radio news and sales, people always came to me and said, Deborah, I need to talk to someone who specializes in this, who has an expertise in this, who can really help me with this product, with this service. So I developed a rapport and a reputation with people for trust and authenticity and always going that extra mile and finding who that right person would be because of their idea and their commitment to what they were doing. The creative connector, how that came about is your question. From those industries, from television and radio, and then from being the rainmaker, always being asked to drive revenue and see it through so that everyone got the met their expectations. And in doing that for a number of years, I decided to take the softer side after being a rainmaker for 15, 20 years and become a connector because people respond better to those who think about others first as opposed to thinking of themselves. And so I developed the concept with my executive coach at the time to be that connector. And so the tagline, connecting people to people and ideas to results, came from that.
So what kinds of things do you do for your clients that serve them to connect them up with other people?
You know, I focus first on who they are as a person, what their personal brand is, because that's so important to the success of their business. So I always ask them, tell me about you, tell me about your background, tell me about what your value proposition is and what makes you unique. And from that, then we talk about their business and talk about what separates their business or their competitive advantage to other businesses in the marketplace. And talk about their customer market, who their target customer is, what their geographic, you know, are they only in Atlanta, are they in Georgia, are they across the country? And then we talk about, again, their value proposition and how it extends to not just their primary market, but also their secondary market. And I do an assessment, I do strategic planning in helping them develop their organization. I help them with their marketing. I help them with their business development. So it's all part of a suite of services.
Deborah, how aware are your clients when they come to you? Because as I listen to you talk about value proposition and secondary markets and all of that, are they blown away by that, or they come in pretty well aware of the kinds of concepts you deal with?
You know, it depends on who I'm helping. If it's a sole proprietor or a trade association or a professional services company, it really depends. It really depends on who I'm talking with. But in terms of helping them get to that next level, I would say that I'm helping them by first understanding their niche and then expanding from there.
Good, good. So they don't get scared right away.
No, because I take a measured approach, and I always make sure that I understand and listen and then recommend.
That makes sense. That's good. Because oftentimes people, when they realize what they don't know, oh my.
It can be a little overwhelming for some people. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, and I will say that a lot of business people are not used to developing their own sales and lead generation. Many of them know what they know.
Right.
But what's important is to have that third eye, is to have that person who can really look at it from a different perspective and help them develop and not be afraid of telling their story in such a way that they're comfortable with telling it, and then the people receiving it see that it's sincere and they're not trying to be sold, but they're helping them in a consultative manner.
Right. If you're providing something that somebody needs, you're really not selling them. You're just giving them an opportunity to fulfill a need that they have.
Yes, being solutions-oriented.
So, Deborah, I know on your website it mentioned that you do a lot of speaking as well. I'm curious what some of the popular topics are that you do presentations on.
Well, for the companies that I've worked for over the years, it's always been about their company and so the product or service, whether it was the Georgia Restaurant Association talking about the trade association and how we make a difference for small to medium-sized businesses, or Atlanta Fixture when I represented the food service equipment and supply industry and talking about what sets us apart in that industry when I was in television with WSB-TV. So I would say first it was always talking about the company I was with and how we make a difference as an organization and then in the community. And then secondly, in all my nonprofit work and professional organizations, I was always talking about the organization. So whether it was the Atlanta Women's Network or the YWCA of Greater Atlanta or the Greater Atlanta Home Builders Association, we always had a program, we always had an event. And I was always, as a leader, talking about why it could be helpful to someone else. And then it got to me and my branding. And so from that, it was the power of networking was a big one. And then just kind of customizing it from there.
So what kind of things do you do to help your prospective clients see what's unique about your business?
Again, I think it goes back to finding out what they're looking for, understanding their business. I always approach everything from doing homework and understanding who I'm talking to, understanding how they sell their product or service, so that when I meet with them and talk with them, they're comfortable with me and that I understand their niche and that I'm a business person and I have a good handle on it, as opposed to calling them and saying, this is my company and this is what I can do for you. It's more coming from the standpoint of, I've eaten at your restaurant, I've gone to your business, I congratulations on the review that you've received, on the award you've just won, on the recognition you've just had. And then I go from that point to talking about how I can possibly help them in their business.
So Deborah, I'm curious what type of writing you typically do that you engage in as part of your business. What kind of things do you write or need to write to have your business be successful?
If it's for a client or if it's for the company I've worked for as an employee, then it's for their magazine. It's for their newsletter. So with the Greater Atlanta, with the Georgia Restaurant Association, I wrote a monthly membership column. For the Atlanta Women's Network, when I was president, I wrote a column each month. For Atlanta Fixture, it was making sure that in the industry publications that they knew who we were and why we were the leading distributors. So I would write articles in the industry publications. For my company, as a creative connector, because I'm always client-focused and I truly act as an employee of the company or partner, I tend to be less about me and more about we.
I love that. I love that. And it sounds like you're very comfortable writing. It sounds like you've done a lot of writing.
I have, coming from broadcasting, in television news. I was a news reporter and an anchor for a period of time. And then being in sales for a number of years, I've just always been able to take good notes and to have a perspective and then share it and hope that people that read it and listen to it like it.
So, Deborah, can you share with our listeners how they can get in touch with you?
Well, they can go to my website, creativeconnector.com, and they can email me from there. or reach me through there. They can call me, of course, on my cell. And those are probably the best ways to reach me would be go to my website, creativeconnector.com.
Okay.
Cool. And then I am on LinkedIn, of course, and Facebook, so they can also connect with me through LinkedIn or Facebook.
Excellent. Well, Deborah, if you can hang with us, we're going to now go to Essie, and then we're going to have everybody chat a little bit.
Sounds good.
Thank you so much for being here. And so our third guest is my friend Essie. Essie Escobedo is the founder of Office Angels and the author of the book Stop Doing That, 21 Activities Critical to Business Success That You Shouldn't Do. Welcome, Essie.
Thank you for having me, Vanessa.
It's so great to have you here. And I mentioned earlier that I was in Linda's CEO Roundtable group, and Essie was also in the CEO Roundtable group. So that's really, even though I knew you before that, that's really how I got to know you, was through that group.
That was a magnificent experience.
It really was. Yeah. It was a good group of women.
Yeah.
So congratulations on your book.
Thank you.
Dr. Tim and I both had such a pleasure working with you on this.
Yeah, we did. That's what I was supposed to say, right?
That's right.
No, it was fun. I'm sorry. I'm the only guy in here. Well, Kevin and I, and we're sitting here.
And you just don't have a chance.
There you go.
Yeah, that's right.
But I like your book. I really do.
My book is fabulous. Thanks to Vanessa and Dr. Tim.
So, thanks. Essie, why don't you tell our listeners, what are some of the things that business owners should stop doing?
Well, we cater at Office Angels, we serve little tiny businesses. I like to say that every big business, e.g. Microsoft, started as a little baby business. And so what we try to do is put in place an infrastructure that will enable that business to grow and flourish. And the only way to do that is to take off the hats. When we start a business, we're wearing all of the hats. And it's not that we can't do these things. Sure, give it enough time to go up the learning curve and enough hours in the day. Sure, we're smart people. We can do all of these things.
But everybody only has 24 hours.
We only have 24 hours.
As many as you'd like to multiply that.
And will it serve our businesses to attempt to try to do all of these things, like try to do the marketing and the bookkeeping and struggle with the PowerPoints and all of those things when we should be doing what we do best? And my corny little motto is, stay focused on what you do best. Office Angels will take care of the rest.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, and I know that when you and I first talked about your book, we were talking about, you know, what you might write your book on, and I remembered that you had sent out a newsletter that was Stop Doing That, which I thought was brilliant. I thought it was so catchy, and you were like, oh, we could do that as the book. And I thought that was such a great idea.
It was. It really was a good idea because it set the context for putting the whole book together. And from that point on, it just became so easy. Thank you, Dr. Tim and Vanessa, because I said to Vanessa, I said, well, you know, if you leave it up to moi, it's never going to happen.
Well, I got to tell you, thanks to your doing the book, I'm now one of your clients. And, you know, as you were saying earlier, I help the small businesses, and I'm one of those. I'm wearing all the hats, and they are getting quite heavy. And as you know, Vanessa, I'm a writing company, and we did not have a newsletter because I hate writing newsletters. Just despise it. And realized that my independent contractors were close seconds on that one.
Well, it's like the cobbler's children. It's hard to do
it.
Something for yourself when you do it all the time for clients.
Exactly. So talking with Essie, working with her on her book, is that there's something here. And so we have Jessica is our office angel, and our newsletter goes out on time. She lets us know what we need to do. We jump to like she's our mother. And in the process, I've been able to find some other stuff that Jessica can do for us, and she's always cheerful. So, you know, I am so glad that we were able to help you with that book because it's benefited my company, and now I'm preaching your song all over the place.
Thank you. That's the whole idea.
So, Essie, tell me how, and I know you and I've had this conversation, but how was the things that you had written in the past, how did that help you put this book together, or how were you able to pull from that?
Well, I've been putting out what I call news bits, a little bit of news to benefit your business. I don't like, writing is not my thing. But people don't really have a lot of time to read. So I wanted to put something short and sweet in my Constant Contact news bits. And the hint to getting people to open them up is come up with a really catchy subject line. And so one of them was stop doing that because it really does hold people back from growing their businesses. I didn't realize it, but when we started working on the project, I had collected over the years all of the, what I call fodder, all of the material that I really needed to put into this little book. And I have to tell you, the response has been fantastic. People are so impressed when you write a book. It's amazing. And it's a wonderful, wonderful way for me to introduce myself to prospective clients or referral partners. I'm going to be visiting a bank executive after this interview, and I'm going to give him a copy of my book. And it says it all.
It's a signed copy of your book.
Well, of course. I'll sign it in front of him.
That's right. That's right.
So it's really working out very well. And I love the concept. I think everybody needs to have one.
So how was the process for you of putting it together? Was it easier than you thought, harder than you thought, different?
Well, without having Dr. Tim and Vanessa, as I said, I don't think I would have done it on my own. That's just me. Because I'm too busy servicing our clients than to take the time. But once we agreed to go forward, then my biggest investment in time was to think through, collect the material, just find it on my computer, basically. And then Dr. Tim helped shape an outline for the book. And I sent him everything. He wrote, basically ghost wrote it.
I appreciate your saying that, but if you hadn't given me the stuff, I wouldn't have had anything to work with. And really what I wound up doing was tweaking everything that you provided. I remember in one of our conversations you said you didn't realize how much writing you would still have to do. And really what it was is you, and I think everybody has this, I'm sure Linda with her newsletters and all the stuff you put out, Deborah, you've got the material that can create a book.
Mm-hmm.
You just need somebody to help you put it together, find a theme, and go with it. And that's what, and you did that so marvelously.
Well, thank you. It was the one and only first time I've ever did a book.
Mm-hmm.
And now that I've have my
now you got
book.
More ideas, don't you?
Yeah, I always
a
like
whole
to
series of Office Angel books.
You've been bitten by the writing bug, and it's a nasty.
I'm a little crazy because I always come up with the title. It's almost like you buy a pair of shoes and then you have to buy an outfit to go with the shoes.
Right.
My wife.
I was going to say, what's wrong with that?
Well, most normal people do it the other way around, but not me. But I have a couple of titles that I'm not going to share because I don't want anybody to steal them. Thank you very much.
Books to come.
Books to come.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, and I do think having the title and having the concept so clearly in place then helps you figure out what you need to fill in. Having that idea of stop doing that. And then you've got the brochure mm-hmm. that you give out to people anyway that has like a list of things that Office Angels does. And that when you and Dr. Tim and I met initially, that was one of the things that you gave him first and said, well, here's a list. And so we kind of used that as kind of the very first blush of, okay, what should people stop doing? Okay, well, there's all these things that Office Angels does. So and then you all just kind of filled in the outline from there.
Yeah, it worked very much. Let me just say that it was a lot easier than I thought it would be.
Well, and I also love that you all came up with the idea of the things that people should start doing. Like there's the 21 things they should stop doing, but then there's also a section of these are the critical things that you must do. So I love that you have both sides of that in the book.
The other piece I like that's in the book is we made her tell a story of herself.
I know, and it's a great story.
Yeah, there's nothing in there that says I should be a writer. And I like that because there's nothing in my background that says I should be a writer, but look at me, you know. And we worked well together. And I think that's the beauty of people being able to create a book, to put their own story in there, to talk about their background. Deborah's been sharing her background, vast and all, and how she writes. And Linda, you did the same thing. And I think that's the common thread for all of us. We have fascinating backgrounds, and we're able to write, and we can put them in some kind of a book. And you chose to put yours at the very end. You did a lot of things different, which was fun to do. You know, you put the dedication in the back of the book. You're making people have to read the whole thing before they find out who it's dedicated.
Well, you made me move it to the front.
Yeah, we actually did end up moving it. We ended up moving it to the front.
And I've read the book and I've gone through it and I'm still putting
it
in the back.
It started in the back, but
okay,
then we moved
thank
it
you.
To the front.
I didn't want the book really to be about me. The book was about helping small businesses. Mm-hmm. But going back to the concept, I love the concept of the unique business card, which is what this concept is all about. Because no matter what kind of a business you're in, I don't care who you are, you have a story to tell. What makes you special? Why should people do business with you as opposed to everybody else who's doing kind of sort of what you're doing? You have a unique and different way of going about it. And there is a story to be told. And I think that, you know, we all look for things that we can gift to clients and associates. And for really for the cost of what it to get a mug, you can have a book.
Well, and I think the cool thing, too, is because, you know, most people, when they think about a book, they think that it, you know, it has to be 30,000 words or it has to be 60,000 words. And really, your book is only about 6,000 words, but we designed it in a way that it, you know, is a substantial little book, and it's a cool size that's 5.5 by 5.5, so it fits in a lady's purse and it fits in a man's jacket pocket. So it's a cool size for people to have and easily flip through and read, you know, just a few pages at a time. It's not something that they have to dedicate a lot of time to and sit and you know, take hours to read.
And you can pick it up anywhere.
I mean,
you can pick it up on any page, and there's a wonderful little nugget.
Yeah.
Well,
that's right.
I want to do something we haven't done for a while, and I didn't clear this with management at the beginning, but here we go anyway. Do you remember when we used to offer a book for free?
Yeah, I do.
Well, I'm going to be gutsy and say Essie would love to donate a book autographed, and we will give it to the first listener. Now, this does not have to be a live listener, but if you're listening live and you send, you're going to be first. But if you're listening to the download later, still send that email. You may be first. But if you would send an email to me at whwnbusinessradiox@gmail.com and simply say, I want Essie's book, you'll get it, but you got to be first.
That's right. And then if you want to buy a copy, you can go to Amazon. But Essie, why don't you tell our listeners how they can get in touch with you and find out more about Office Angels?
You can go to officeangels.us. You can, all of my contact information is on the website. I'm also under Esther Escobedo at LinkedIn.
And why don't you spell Escobedo?
E-S-C-O. B as in boy, E-D-O, Escobedo.
And so and folks can also go to Amazon and search either for Stop Doing That, or they can search for your name, Essie Escobedo.
That's right. And thank you to my on-demand book publisher, BookLogix. It's a wonderful business, a place for me to get my books printed whenever I need them, and I don't have to maintain an inventory, and they're fantastic.
Excellent. Well, we're going to open the mics and let everybody chat a little bit. So curious if any of you have questions for one another. I know that all of you know each other. So,
well, this is a creative connector experience because Essie and I met, in 2001 when I started my company, and I needed that help with many of the things that she does. And what I saw in Essie at the time was a woman who had a great story and wasn't getting it out, and because she wasn't into the networking and the connecting and sharing that she is now.
She was helping her clients, but she wasn't really getting the word out about her.
That's right. She was a diamond in the rough. And so I said, Essie, I think it's time that you get some exposure. And that was when I was either vice president or president of the Atlanta Women's Network. And I said, you know, I'd love for you to come as my guest. And so that opened up a whole new world of people that she got a real kick out of. And eventually they got a kick out of her, and she became great friends, and then got into the board and on the board and started building her personal brand and her professional brand. So, and then I met Linda through Essie when I was at Atlanta Fixture, Director of National Accounts, and I thought that I would bring, once I understood the essence of Linda's business, I knew that our company at the time might want to look at her expertise for time management. And so met Linda that way, and then we became friends from there.
Excellent. Well, Linda, I know that you have spent a lot of time connecting people together. And do you still do your lunch every month? I know that for many years you had a lunch that was Lunch with Linda.
Yes. I just love that name. The way it started was... someone challenged me, actually Emil Parody challenged me to do something that was social. And so I came up with this list of people who I wanted to invite to lunch, and there was only one man in the list. So I sent out an invitation to, I think, about 21 women, and 13 women came to the lunch. And we just talked and talked about our businesses. And at the end of the lunch, I said, would you like to do this again? And everyone said yes. And then one of the women, Kelly, said, and we'll call it Lunch with Linda. And I thought, oh, dear Lord, no. But that's
but it's very
that's
catchy.
The name. And it's been, I've been doing it for over 10 years now.
Wow.
And I've got about 35 women on the mailing list, and it's all about networking and creating really great relationships, and it's just the room is just full of energy when everyone's together.
I attend, and it's one of my favorite networking events because it Linda's very, very good about keeping on time and on track, and I love the segment where we feature one of the members. What is it, 10 minutes?
Mm-hmm.
We take turns, do a 10-minute presentation, and then we follow that up with a brainstorming session, which I really love.
Yeah. Well, and that, like we said, that's one of your strong suits is helping people brainstorm. So.
Well, it is, and I also have a CEO roundtable. Actually, I call it a brainstorming roundtable that I've had for about 2.5 years now, and the whole idea is for small business owners to get together and use each other as a board of directors, bring their issues, bring their opportunities, and have lots of different brains in the room. And everyone gets a lot of benefit from it.
Well, and I know I've been to Lunch with Linda a number of times. I haven't been recently, and I am always, it's always interesting for me when I'm talking to folks, the people that we realize we have in common. And just recently somebody said to me, do you know if Linda's still doing her lunch? And I said, I feel sure she is. I haven't asked her about it for a while. But, you know, there's so many people that have come to that over the years, you know, either just a few times or regularly. So it's wonderful that you do that. Do you let men come, or is it just women?
You know, one time a man came, and he never
I'm
returned.
I'm listening carefully.
Probably felt like Dr. Tim earlier today. He's like, I can't
looking.
Get a word in.
He never returned. And it was it's interesting. It's just it's a group for women.
A lot of estrogen in the room.
A lot of great,
a lot
powerful,
of great.
All
fun.
All the more reason for some testosterone.
That's right. That's right.
Well, if you're a metrosexual man, then you can take
then
that.
You can hang.
Yes. I will say I've never been invited to a lunch with Linda.
Oh.
And it's been over a year since I've known Linda, so maybe this is a opportunity. And Essie, and as long as I've known her, other than the time that we started working together, I haven't really maximized your business because you haven't necessarily reached out to me. So I think there's an opportunity for you to help me with my business.
Excellent.
Okay.
Good for people to connect together.
We'll talk.
There we go.
So, Dr. Tim, we're almost out of time. It's hard to believe that. Do you have any last things you want to comment on?
Well, I'm just
on?
Sitting here thinking about lunch with Linda, and I'm the only guy on, you know, and all these women sitting here talking. I felt quite comfortable. It's been a delight to have all four of you and to be able to sit back and listen. And as always, Vanessa, you do a great job of bringing out the information from folks.
Well, great. Well, and Essie, I see you raising your hand. Do you have something you want to say?
Since the topic is writing, and maybe this is not the best time to say this, but in my writing every day, I spend a great deal of time crafting my emails. Because most of my work is conducted via email, and I find that there's such a chance of miscommunication with people when they're not reading your email the way it's intended. And I want to urge everyone to take time, and maybe Dr. Tim can help with some coaching, writing skills on how to improve their writing via email especially.
Oh, I think that's a great tip. I agree with you that sometimes the tone that you intended for an email doesn't always come across. So,
well, the other piece I want to throw in, and I should have done it sooner, and especially as I listen to you, Deborah, you know, we've put the question in now. We've shifted the focus of our show back in August a little bit. And now we ask, and what part writing plays in your businesses? And I will say when I'm inviting guests on, if that means you have to write invoices to get paid, that's fine. I've never had anybody give that as an answer, and it's just astounding to me how everyone comes in and says, writing, well, yeah, we have to do this and this and this and this. So that writing is, in fact, a whole lot more a part of most businesses than any of us realize.
Right, right, and an important part. Well, thanks to all of you for being on the show. Our clock is on us, and we welcome the comments and suggestions from our listeners about content and about our guests. If you would like to recommend a guest or be a guest yourself on Right Here, Right Now, let us know. Send us an email at whwnbusinessradiox@gmail.com. Thank you, Dr. Tim, for letting me join you in the studio today.
Oh, no, it's for letting me join you in the studio.
Oh, no, I feel like Chip and Dale. Oh, no, you first.
I know who you mean.
And thanks to Kevin for co-hosting and keeping us on track today. Thank you.
Well, you're welcome. I don't know if I did most co-hosting, but I love listening from these independent, powerful women. I always like that.
Excellent. And thank you to our guests. We had Linda Zook, Deborah Swartz-Griffin, and Essie Escobedo. Linda, can you share your contact information again?
Yes, it's Linda. I'll give my email address, Linda at focus5consulting.com, and it's F-I-V-E, not the number 5. And my website is www.focus5consulting.com.
Excellent. Deborah, your contact information?
CreativeConnector.com website, and then Deborah at CreativeConnector.com, and Deborah's D-E-B-O-R-A-H. And I do want to leave you with a motto that I've lived by for a number of years, and it's you have to want to, you have to believe that you can, and then convince others that you will.
Excellent. Thank you. Essie, can you share your contact information?
It's Essie Escobedo, E-S-S-I-E-E-S-C-O-B, as in boy, E-D-O, .us.
And
at officeangels.us, sorry.
And then officeangels.us is the website.
Right.
Excellent. Right Here, Right Now is brought to you each week by Right Choice Services. Learn more about Right Choice Services and how they help individuals write the book they've always wanted to write at rightchoiceservices.com. I hope you'll join us next week. Tell your friends about the show. In fact, send them an email right now and invite them to listen live or to listen to the downloads. Right Here, Right Now broadcasts live every Tuesday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern at rightherenow.businessradiox.com. And the MP3 version will be available later today. I'm Vanessa Lowry. Join us next time when business leaders, entrepreneurs, and professionals come together to discuss the power of the pen and its impact on their business. Right here, right now.